Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing 30 Flights of Loving and Quadrilateral Cowboy. I said that a little weird, but Quadrilateral Cowboy.
It is, it is Quadrilateral Cowboy.
It got stuck in my throat a little bit.
Yeah, it's an emotional time for cowboys of that type. So this is our Blendo Games special. These are a couple of games by Blendo Games, which is a big indie developer of these kind of walking sim style. I mean, that's a little bit reductive, but of a kind of game that we generally like on the show, and we've never covered anything by him. And he has a, it's a company, it's Blendo Games. It's really just Brendan Chung is the main guy. And since he has a Quadrilateral Cowboy came out very recently, we decided this would be a good time to look at some of his stuff.
Yeah. The kind of best known of which is 30 Flights of Loving, which is a first person adventure game that was released Microsoft Windows and OS X in 2012. Mm-hmm. And it is a single player, short little, essentially walking sim. Like, the mechanics in it are pretty actually light aside from that.
Yeah, there's almost none other than a couple of brief mechanical things you can do that have no impact. Mm-hmm. The game, I mean, they do have impact because they're part of the storytelling, but they do not have impact as far as, making your success or fail. There's no fail state to it. This was a kind of an interesting game as far as where it appeared. So this is a quasi sequel to a game that he had done earlier, that this game was created for an Idle Thumbs Kickstarter.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yes. Yeah. The original name of the game is, I'm sure Nick has it on the top of his,
the first one, Gravity Bone.
Gravity Bone. Thank you. So it's kind of a sequel. It takes place in the same universe, and so does Quadrilateral Cowboy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Nick, what's good about 30 Flights of Loving?
It's a short, quick story-based game that kind of tries to do some interesting stuff with cuts. You know, it's very segmented storyline where you non-linear kind of piece by piece little bits. And it's, he kind of has this art style all his own, where everybody's this real cubic, low polygon character that he's used throughout all of his games so far. Mm-hmm. This game, I think, it's too short for me to really garner too much of an opinion on, actually. There's not a whole lot there other than a really lightly told story of kind of a heist from this group.
Yes.
Who are smuggling alcohol, from my understanding, right? That this is sort of...
Some kind of spy stuff involving, a wedding reception. It's about this kind of romance and this heist thing. The game's only 15 minutes long, and that editing and everything is kind of done in service to me. The most interesting thing about this game is that you don't actually see the entire story. Mm-hmm. You get kind of hints about the middle, but you just see the beginning and end,
right?
Whereas your character is one of three kind of experts in this heist group. You have some kind of romance with one of them, and then there's just like one little flash frame that implies that you maybe cheated on her. Mm. And then you get the aftermath where things have gone wrong. And maybe because the lady in your group you had a relationship with possibly betrayed your group.
Right.
Is kind of shooting at you and stuff. That part, I think, is neat. I guess it's spoilers. It's not really, though, because the game only takes 15 minutes. And, you're either going to have played it or not. So that's kind of the story, and that part is cool. I like the editing and stuff. That's something that Brendan Chung has done with a lot of his games. He had, before he did Gravity Bone, his kind of first weird indie kind of independent spirit game, he did a lot of mods for Half-Life. That kind of took some of this feeling and tone, but you also shot monsters, mm-hmm. But he did those editing tricks are part of that. And then he finally did this kind of thing that's purely like style over mechanics here. I don't like 30 Flights of Loving very much, which is rare because it seems like the kind of thing I would like.
Right.
And the reason I don't like it is because of the attempts at humor. I think this, the way that when this game tries to be funny, and for some people who are listening to this, it's going to seem like, it's gonna make me feel like a real killjoy, given that how much I just like jazz punk, mm-hmm. As well, which is was clearly influenced by this game.
Right, right, yeah. They definitely have a similar look.
I don't think 30 Flights of Loving is funny. and it wants to be. There's like a lot of seriousness. There's a lot of kind of emotional heft, but there's a lot of just goofy, like little interactions you have with things in the world that mm-hmm. I think are supposed to be funny. Like, and then the ending of it ends with this non sequitur of explaining Bertolli's principle of how flight works.
Right.
That I hate more than any like 1 minute in a game that I can think of. Like, it just feels so like dumb, lol, random to me. And I don't have faith that it's adding up to anything.
Yeah, and I think that's my problem with it. I don't supremely like it, but there's not enough in there to make me mad at it to be like, no, I definitely dislike this game. Like, it's so short, and every bit of it is so insignificant that it all doesn't add up to anything that I can really garner a strong opinion on either way.
It's really slight.
Yeah, you know, it kind of just, like, this thing is pretty highly reviewed, right? Like, this is a fairly well-known kind of early indie scene game, and it's got some great reviews. Like,
everyone likes the, I mean, this guy is a real, like, kind of critical darling, and I'm not trying to position ourselves as, like, you know, it's Maniac and the Crunch Boy, and they're, you know, they're here to shatter your illusions.
Right.
But America doesn't want you to hear, you know, but I don't think I like Blendo games in general. Like, I don't, like, this Gravity Bone is a version of this that has a lot of platforming, first-person platforming. Mm-hmm. So there's more kind of fail conditions, but it's a kind of a similarly told story.
Right.
There. And then the next game, which we'll get into, which I, spoiler, I really dislike. But this, it's really slight. The weird thing about it having those reviews is that kind of that it has them at all, or it has this, that it was this landmark.
Yeah.
Indie game, because it's a promotional game for a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it feels like that, like a 15-minute promotional game for a Kickstarter. This feels fine, but putting it under any of the weight of a regular game kind of makes it crumble. Not because a game has to be long, but I do feel like games tend to be more substantial than this.
It feels like a game jam game that somehow ended up getting in the hands of critics who then ended up really liking it.
Yeah,
and kind of blew out of proportion, like snowballed out from there. Like, it was never meant to be taken this seriously, I think.
Yeah, I definitely have that kind of feel to it. And it's like, a game can be short, and I can still really dig it. You know, I like a short game. It's just this, I think that that humor that's in it, that is a result of kind of a confused thesis that I mm-hmm. think is a result of the fact that it's not, like, it is just kind of, it feels like a thing that was done for a Kickstarter.
Right.
You know, it feels like a stretch goal, which is what it is. A stretch goal for something that is unrelated to the developer.
Anything.
Yeah. Like, it's just to an unrelated podcast group.
Right. Except for Remo doing the music.
Yeah. Yeah. But it doesn't, this isn't like full of, you know, you don't have to be a fan of the Idle Thumbs. There's like one, if you backed it, you got a mode that replaces everyone's face with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Which is a in joke to the podcast.
Right.
But the, other than that, it's not really related to that, you know. It's kind of this little weird little style exercise
mm-hmm.
that is to my mind could have been a lot more.
Yeah,
you know, I just would have liked it to have that emotional core that's there. I wish there was a little bit more development. It doesn't need to be longer than 15 minutes, but a little bit more development, and then just really like a little bit steadier of a tone kind of thing, I think.
Yeah,
would have done it for me. Yeah.
Well, you say that, but
well, that's true.
Right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
To Quadrilateral Cowboy, which so this was released just back in July. It came out on OS X and Linux as well in September,
mm-hmm.
or is going to. And this is sort of takes place in the same universe, but it is a much longer, much more substantial game that has you taking the role of a hacker, among a couple little cronies. You guys set up these kind of digital heists where each mission is you kind of heading in to steal some information of some sort, primarily by means of using this laptop and these kind of simple scripting utilities to, say, open doors that are otherwise locked. And if you keep them open for too long, then it's going to sound an alarm and you'll have some fail state. So you have to kind of script things to happen in the correct order in order to allow you to complete the level. And then it kind of just grows in complexity from there, where you get new utilities kind of after each heist that you can then connect up to your PC, like a little robot that can get into spaces that you can't, or various other tools to help you complete these missions as they are set up and given to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this game, when you said that this was like a monkey's paw thing for me wanting a more steady tone, this has that. Because this game, from what I played, I did not finish it, even though it's relatively short, is about, if from what I played, feels about something, which is like about an aesthetic. And that aesthetic being like the idea of hacking in the 80s.
Yes.
You know, there's this, like, that's the joke. It's like you have a top of the line hacking deck with, you know, a 56.6K modem and a staggering 256K RAM, you know, is like right. the idea. It is this kind of joke or examination of how blocky and chunky decking is, or that idea is in fiction. You know, you have some things that are explicitly sci-fi, like just the fact that you're, you know, doing these heists through a computer, that you have these hover bikes, things like that. But it is very much a way to emphasize how clunky and mechanical this thing that is traditionally shown to be very slick actually is.
Right.
That's the joke, right? I didn't run into a bunch of other jokes in the game other than just kind of the premise. Mm-hmm. But it also feels a little bit like a monkey's paw wish for you, where, like, as somebody who likes programmatic games, did this scratch that itch for you?
Hell no. Yeah. So I came into this like really digging what it was going for originally, and it does not provide any actual means of exploring even the mechanics it sets up.
Yeah.
It makes them all clunky and awkward, and it puts them all in these levels that are just straight shot. Like, what I want is a Deus Ex where you're running around with essentially these tools but better, right?
Yeah.
Like, if I had a game where I had a massive level and a you know, maybe multiple goals within that level, kind of as this game wants to set it up, and then just like a billion different routes to go about each one using the toolkit you have available to you. But that's not what this is. Each time there is exactly one way to do it, and can you learn what the developer is trying to get you, the exact one thing it's trying to get you to do.
It is that kind of that specific kind of puzzle game that's my least favorite thing, where it is just trying to guess the one path. Like you said, there aren't degrees of success or degrees of failure. It's not about that. Like, it has to be kind of clunky and bad to make its point. You know, all the defenses I've seen of this game, like, this is another really critically acclaimed game, where people are just like, oh, the clunky interface is the point. But something being the point doesn't necessarily make something good or fun to me. And the simple act of doing any of the things that you have to do in this game are so tedious that I lost patience with it very quickly, despite being on board for what it's trying to do. So, like, the drone is especially egregious to me, like programming and actions for this drone, because the loop is, it's a game about like debugging, right? Like, but with multiple steps, so you don't just run the code and see if it works. You sit down your laptop, type up the code for your drone, leave your laptop, watch and see if the drone does the thing. If it doesn't, put down your laptop, pull it back up and debug the code, and keep trying that to see if it will work.
Well, and it's not even like you reset the state unless you start the level. Like, you're just manually inputting controls for it that could just easily be you controlling it with WASD.
Right. But the idea is that you can't do that because everything is based on this old technology. Right. You know, you don't reset the state of the thing. You're just, you know, debugging it where it's at. But there are fail states in it, and there are no checkpoints in it from what I played. So, like, first level, before you even get to the drone, and I hate the drone so much, but before you even get to the drone, when you're just doing door stuff, so it's just like door opens for 3 seconds and then a pause of 3 seconds and then the second door opens, you know, to get through, the fail state for setting off the alarm in that stage is getting shot, which just starts the whole thing over again, which is just like rote tedium. There's just the one way, there's the one programming line that works for this thing, and you just have to type it in again. Or, I mean, you can press up to pull up your old lines, but you're just doing the same things over and over again until you actually manage a flawless run of it. I found it really unsatisfying. Like, I like the idea of a hacking game. Like, I like the idea of hackers. I love this aesthetic. I love this, you know, this kind of cyberpunk is really, really cool. But those modern kind of affordances for ease of use, I'm appreciative of.
And I also just don't, I want the level and puzzle design to be something that plays with the mechanics you're given.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't matter. You're just like whatever the solution to the puzzle. It could be any solution to the puzzle. It doesn't have to be anything about this laptop with its scripting abilities and the robot with the little screen to view it. You were not given anything cool. I want like mechanics like this, but in a less clunky way in a game, in event crawling simulator.
Yeah, with a game, you want this in a game that has where you're taking a toolbox and you're trying to accomplish, you have a choice of goals to accomplish with that toolbox, as opposed to having a toolbox that is, and there's just a lock that will accept one kind of key
and you're just
debugging to find the right key. Yeah. It's an immense bummer. And the amount of space between things is really annoying to me too. You're encouraged to, one kind of cool touch is that you can go into no clip mode, but you can't actually affect the environment. So you can use that to kind of scout things out. When you get to the stages where you have to scout things out, when you go to the first stage with the drone, the first real stage with the drone, you're on these funiculars that are flying down this hill. And there are four of them, and you can scout to see which one order you have to go in, but you still very clunkily like get on this little thing that slides between them, move the lever and get over there. And it just takes like time. It doesn't feel like in a game that's this goal based, like some of the joy of playing those kind of programming games is like figuring it out and then being able to do it right away. Mm-hmm. Here, I always knew what it was I tried to do. It was just finding the right code to do it.
Right.
The puzzle is never figuring out what to do, and the game just tells you which code it is, like more or less right there. It just introduces
most
things
of the time,
to you.
Yeah.
It just tells you what to do. So you're just kind of going through a rote version of it. There's a way he knows that he's mostly known for doing walking simulators. So there's a tourist mode where their doors are all open that doesn't get you past, like it doesn't let you just kind of walk around and do the walking simulator parts either, because it only opens doors. So it stops you from having to use the laptop. It doesn't stop you from having to do the drone or any other thing you have to do. I just found it way too tedious to play. Like it felt bad in my hands. Really, really frustrating. Really, really time consuming. And that flavor that was there is not there during the puzzle portions, really.
Yeah.
There's a couple things in the background, but most of that flavor comes from when you're in your hideout with your two companions that aren't doing stuff. They're just kind of hanging around repairing the base and doing stuff like that. And I think that's where the charm is supposed to come in.
Or the cat shopkeeper. I like that.
I like the cat shopkeeper too. I thought I was going to hate that, and then I was like, you know what? I'm actually okay with this. But just actually completing the puzzles. And the frustrating thing is, it's not like this guy. It's not a Machine for Pigs thing where it's a company that is used to making games without fail conditions is suddenly exposed to is suddenly making a game where they have to make fail conditions and don't know how to do it, because the other Blendo games or Brandon Chung games are Atom Zombie Smasher and Flotilla, which are much more mechanical and more gamey. Mm-hmm. What I think doesn't work about this is that trying to make that point that is not very gamey using systems that very much are, but are not not fun, and that's such a elementary critique, but that's how I feel about it. Like, oh, this isn't fun to play.
Yeah.
I had no fun playing this game. I hated it and put it down because I got really mad and frustrated at it.
The fact that you have to like perfectly position your laptop and your little VR cam screen if you want to use the little spider drone guy in a way that doesn't require you to click off your laptop each time. Like, these are purposely done in a way to make it more complex. Just to help it fit the theme of, there wasn't graphical UIs back then. So
yeah. So everything was really clunky. And I just feel like I get that, as an example,
I got it the first time.
This game makes me feel that, so if that's the point, success, it's fine to make a game that just expresses an idea like that, contrasting how clunky computers are. I dig it. But I like that as a theme. I just don't want to spend any time with it. Like, I know that, I don't know. It just felt like it wasn't an idea worth examining to me. Or at least the one that I didn't want to examine.
Right. And I just also feel like you're given this scripting interface with these tools that are all used through a computer. It's so perfectly analog to, it lines up so perfectly with all these games that we've talked about on the show that are aimed at me, these games where you have an open-ended puzzle that you have a billion different ways to solve because your toolbox is scripting. This game could have had that, and it just doesn't offer any other venues of completing the puzzles.
Yeah.
And what's the point then? Like, why bother forcing you into this, you know, cool way of being able to solve a puzzle if there's no open-endedness to it at all?
Yeah.
Like, there is the one way to solve each puzzle.
There's almost no room for player expression in this. Yeah. Like, the way that you play this game is not your own. You know, the way is prescribed.
About as much difference between one person's playthrough of this and another person's as it would be in like Half-Life 2, where you're just running through the same hallway.
It's just how successful you are at doing it. So the difference is how many times you have to start over, or how much you have to debug.
And that's the dumbest thing too, is that there's like a time scoreboard.
Oh yeah.
At the end of each level, it's like, challenge your friends into how fast, you know, your Steam friends into how fast you complete these levels. But
there's one way to do it. Like, you can just, like, you could run it just by typing fast, you know,
or even just completing it the first time and now playing it a second time and just going through your history by pressing up to execute all the commands you did.
Yeah. And all it is just, it's not coming up with a new way to do it faster, you know, so that, that it's just executing the same thing faster in like a pretty rudimentary, like jumping, ledging, WASD kind of thing. It's not like there are cool speedrun tricks. It's not made for that. It's just this weird little add-on mechanic to it. I really hate this game. Like, I don't know. It's my least favorite. This is going to show up on our like comrade end of year thing as like games I really, really didn't like that we did for the show. And I really thought I would like it because, one, I like hacking. Two, you know, and I'm on record on the show of being like, man, do I want like a vent crawler? You know, I want an indie game doing this kind of thing about infiltrating buildings, you know, and then we did Neon Struct, which is more or less that, that abstracts hacking delightfully. And then something like this, which takes hacking and makes it as boring and job-like as it is in real life. You know, like
it's even less interesting than it could ever possibly be in real life.
It is like making the dumbing down debugging, you know, like dugging, you know, the cleanup phase of your job, but more so.
I'm definitely highly disappointed in it. Like, it's I don't know if it's, you know, one of my least favorite games I've ever played, but I meant
this year
for
the show. It's not like bottom, you know, it's probably not bottom like I do a podcast about bad games. Like, this probably isn't bottom 100 games I've played, you know, in my life, but I am really disappointed in this and really wished it was more fun. And I need to read some reviews or listen to some podcasts, because I know a lot of people who really like it.
Yeah.
You know, the short game guys, they really loved it. But all when I've been like, how do you get past the interface stuff? They're just like, oh, it's supposed to be that way. It's like, I know it's supposed to be that way, but it's no fun to engage with.
I can see someone saying like, you didn't put enough time in, but I mean, I got a significant number of levels in. Like, I got to get the suitcase with the gun in it, which is, I don't know, six levels in or something, six different, you know, missions. Each mission has three levels to it, but I was like six different missions in. It's still just, it's just the same shit with some different tools, and I still only have the one way to access it.
They're still just like, the levels are designed not to give you any freedom. And it makes me wonder if the level, the game takes a structure, and like, I should watch a Let's Play or just read about it, where maybe it is, the structure is they introduce you to the first half of the game is a really long tutorial, and then eventually your options open up.
Yeah. If the end of this game is one big level where you are given all the tools you have and you're made to solve it however you want, then I apologize. I didn't get that far. This tutorial is way too fucking
long. It's not, you don't have to apologize. It just means that, like, you know, it's the same way, you know, your game, I read this on something on the essay boards, but where like somebody who said your game could be like the most beautiful game in the world, but if you put 15 minutes of unskippable cutscene at the beginning, I'm never gonna know, you know. And it's like, it's the thing that happens with Okami. Like, I like Okami, but like, boy, do you have to sit through a lot of bullshit to play Okami.
Yeah. No, I could not get very
stop
far
doing
Okami.
That.
I was like, this is really pretty. I get it. It's like a cool Zelda-like with drawing.
Like, games,
I'm not...
I hate it when games do that. And this game doesn't really do that. It's not cutscenes. But if there is a light, if that freedom does come later, they spend way too much time on the tutorial, and the actual verbs themselves are just not fun to engage with.
Yeah, there's one level that's like, did you get to the jump pad thing?
No.
Okay, so there's one of the tools you get probably like just about right after you stopped. It's like this jump pad that you can set it down on the ground, and you can like move it kind of up, down, left, right. It has nothing to do with the computer. You just set it down on the ground, and then you have a control to kind of land where or decide where you're going to land, right? So you can configure where this jump pad is going to jump you to. And then the whole level of using it is like getting these safes that you can't pick up and like pushing them onto jump pads to get them to your exit points.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine until the third level in this mission, where you have to place two of them, but if you don't, like, I failed it like four times just because I didn't place the first one lined up perfectly with the second one, so the safe would just like hit a wall and fall off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was aggravating that this is basically a tutorial level.
Yeah, that's how I felt through a lot of this.
Yeah.
Like knowing, you know, I've done the smart part. You know, I've done the part that's challenging my mind. Now you're just challenging my patience.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing that I say like over and over and over on the show, like never like make my patience the thing you're going to rest your game on.
Yeah.
Cause doesn't feel like a game to me. Like it's not a challenge I'm interested in, you know, like, how patient can I be is not a challenge I'm interested in.
Right.
And that is a lot what this felt like to me. And, really bummed out and not going to play it anymore.
Nope.
And going to cast a side eye at future stuff because I, you know, I'm real lukewarm on 30 Flights of Loving. Did not particularly like Gravity Bone. Do not like this. Like, I think it's fairly safe to say that I just don't like this dude's games. And a lot of people do. A lot of people I really respect. So there's got to be something there. I'm not saying there's not. If you can tell me what's there, like, do it. Because I'm curious to hear other people's opinions.
Right.
As to what, you know, what this game does well and why this is somehow not an egregious nightmare. But I can't see it.
There's not 100% shit that I'm wading through, but I have to wade through a lot of shit to get the good stuff.
Yeah.
And the good stuff is minor. Like, it's just not enough there to really... Anyway.
Yeah.
That's enough. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do some admin stuff real quick.
Yeah.
Gary, how can people help us out if they like listening to us get mad about this game?
The best thing to do is head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. We're rounding out on our next goal, which is the X-Men show that me and Jeremy are going to do.
Yes.
So that'll be very fun. But every little bit counts. Mm-hmm. Even a dollar is a big, big, big help.
Absolutely. And there's a bunch of goodies in there for you too, depending on how much you're willing to put in. We'd like to send you guys postcards. We invite mm-hmm. you guys to come chat with us in a Slack that we're always hanging in. So, lots of good stuff to come to get if you enjoy Duck Feed content. And if you like this show and you got some games you want us to check out, or if you just want to participate in some discussion, then we're available on twitter.com/comradepodcast or @comradepodcast mm-hmm. and on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. And you can always submit your suggestions via duckfeed.tv/contact as well. Any one of those venues, I'll add it to our list, and we'll take a look at what we want to do in future episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of future episodes, I believe we're finally going to do Witcher 3 next time.
Noted indie title.
Noted indie title.
BAFTA Game of the Year.
Yeah, that one's a stretch in the indie, but you know, it's the guys who created GOG, so they definitely came from humble beginnings.
They have an indie spirit.
Yes, yeah. And then after that, I've definitely got some copies from the developer of Factorio, so I've been meaning to check that out. It's a very Nick game mm-hmm. in a way that this is not. So yeah.
Factorio and Abzu.
Yeah, we want to play Abzu. There's been a lot of discussion about that. I never played Journey. I want to see what those guys can do. So
yeah. Absolutely. I'm very, very excited. So thanks you guys for supporting the show. Really do appreciate it. No spoiler section. I didn't get to the end of Quadrilateral Cowboy and you can't not spoil 30 Flights. So I think that's probably about it.
Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll see you next time.
Good night.